Okay, sorry about that, folks. My computer just turned itself off for no reason whatsoever. Just turned off, and the screen went blank. Everything shut down, so I had to switch to my backup computer. I assume we're back live. Whether people.
Is everybody hearing me? Bavarian man, you hearing me? Back on. Okay, there's Oak. Okay, I was in the middle of a marvelous rant
Yes,
about
you were. I
the
mean, you were on a
Jews,
roll.
and they are using these others as weaponized people against the white race.
That's right.
We keep hearing about all these arrests that are gonna happen. Gonna. Show me.
You're from Kentucky, not Missouri.
Really?
Although you may wind up in
Now,
Missouri.
I may be an educated hillbilly, but I'm still a hillbilly. And you can't pee down my neck and tell me it's raining. Okay? I want to see it. Now, I watched all these posts about how they're going to do this and how they're going to do that. But until it hits the mainstream media, I keep hearing all these people are arrested. Harvey Weinstein is nothing but a fat, ugly Jew pervert.
That's right.
They threw him under the bus. He means nothing. The same way with Podesta, means nothing. They are not movers and shakers. They're not the power structure. They're symptoms of the problem, not the initiators of the problem.
Right.
The initiators of the problem have been skating, going scot-free. Oh, they're going to arrest Hillary. Are they? And
Yeah.
I should hold my breath until this happens, right? Now,
Well, we'll see. It's moving at a snail's pace.
well, they say they're training. I watched a fellow's video. The Marines are training, doing this and doing that. Who are they going to come against? Are they going to come against the power structure? Or are they going to come against us?
Yeah.
Yeah, they may be training, but they're going to follow orders just
Yeah.
like the rest of the military.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah,
They're
I'll
doing
believe it when I see it.
urban training. Okay.
For who?
That's for who? That's
Yeah.
scary.
Yeah. Yeah, they shouldn't be doing that anyway. Urban, our military is not supposed to.
Yeah, Pastor Dan is saying they're coming for someone soon, so we will know for sure then.
Okay.
Amen, brother.
All right,
Amen.
hopefully.
I know the
I can't
military
wait.
bases are like a swarm of bees. I understand that.
Right. Yeah, now if the military goes after traitors and Israelis and dual citizens and that sort of thing, fine. But our military
Well,
is being trained to
it's
come against
gonna
us.
have to be a military coup to take this power structure down. The militias, the citizens, they're not well trained enough. They're only isolated pockets. Yahweh's going to have to engineer this for us, folks.
Yeah, we're gonna
Okay?
have to pray.
That's the whole thing. You don't just pray for things, you can pray against
That's right. That's right.
things. Imprecatory prayer works. We
Yeah.
all need to get closer to our Father
Amen.
because He
Amen.
is the one that's going to bring us through this. He's the one that's going to send His mighty messengers with flaming fire. He has used true Israel as a battle axe and weapons of war all through history, but we are only victorious when we are obedient to Him and do it in His name with the right actions. taking off with a wild hair because we don't like Jews and we don't like blacks. We don't like this. We don't like that. It has to be a righteous anger against that which is against the laws of Yahweh. And we have to do it with complete humility and faith. We cannot have an arrogant attitude. Oh, I'm a bad A. Nobody's a bad A. Even the bad A's bleed like anybody else. It's got to be Yahweh in the forefront, extending his protection to the remnant. The remnant's going to have to fight this.
That's right.
But it has to fight it under the protection of the Father. And to do that, you have to be righteous in his eyes, like the army of Gideon that he whittled down so people would know that Yahweh is to get the glory, not men. Oh, you're so great. Forget that. I am nothing. He brought me back from the brink of death. I know how small I am. I know how fragile this old body is. But if he wants to accomplish something through me, he will. Because his is the power. And we keep trying to downsize Yahweh to our level of comprehension, which is pathetic. We're little children, and we need to realize that and be obedient to the Father. Back to you.
Amen. Okay, well, because we had the, I had the power outage, I'm just going to revisit the beginning of this thesis, number 74, and it was the problem of assimilation. And I was reading from a document by Mark H. Ellis on the rabbis and the future of Jewish life, in which he admits that there's this modus operandi, for lack of a better expression, this mindset of Jews, which he calls victimhood, right? And the Jews are using this victimhood to establish themselves in the host nations and parasitize off of them. Okay, and he says in the first paragraph here, it is not only the linear historical sequence that forces us the use of this mindset, this victimhood status, but the use of the Holocaust as a shield against accountability for abuse of the Palestinians. This is a very honest statement by a Jew. Very honest statement. You rarely get a Jew to admit that they've been mistreating anybody. Okay. He continues, we as Jews come after the Holocaust and Israel because our victimization has become a tool of power, and because our proclaimed innocence, he says proclaimed, not real innocence, proclaimed innocence betrays a culpability that increases even today. Wow, what an admission. When was the last time you heard a Jew talking like this? They're always.
I've never.
Yeah. Yeah. This is incredible. What are we to do with this culpability? The situation is complex and has at least two fronts for the Jews who live in the West. On the one hand, Jews are a minority living in cultures still defined by Christianity, just as we found from the Jewish Encyclopedia. Let me repeat the Jewish Encyclopedia. It says, this is Standard Encyclopedia, Volume 14, under Judaism. Judaism, the religious system, doctrines, and rites of the Jews. Judaism is specifically the religion of a Jewish community living among Gentile peoples and is to be distinguished from the religion of ancient Israel. Okay, it's not the same. This is something we in identity have always known, that the Israelites and the Jews are completely different people and that the Talmud and the Mosaic Law are completely, in fact, polar opposite laws. The world has yet to find this out. That's why we're here, folks. We're trying to educate the world.
I said before that the Talmud is satanic, and it is a mirror image of Yahweh's laws.
Uh-huh. Right.
They even take names of angelic beings
backwards.
And copy them. They copy them, and it's all a reflection of Yahweh's laws on
right.
the dark side of the mirror.
That's right.
It's backwards.
Yes, yes.
It's a polar opposite to what is right.
Yes.
And that's what they follow.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, and Mark Ellis repeats this assertion from the encyclopedia. On the one hand, Jews are a minority living in cultures still defined by Christianity, or at least a Christian ethos or ethic. On the other hand, Jews are asked to support and in some cases are held responsible for Israel or the Israeli state, a nation state in the Middle East that Jews in the West do not control, nor overwhelmingly do they choose to live there. See, this is where the big lie comes in, because the British people, when they supported the Jews in going to Palestine, they actually wanted them to leave. Please get out of Britain, move to Palestine. But they never did. They never did.
Well, if you take a look at what that area of the world has become, it's Israeli in name only. Nobody wants to live there, really.
No, that's right.
The ones that live there are stuck there. It's a miserable country. There's no water.
Yeah.
No crops. They have to import all their food. They're taking so much water out of the Jordan River that the Dead Sea, in other words, Sea of Salt,
is
drying up.
Yep.
And the water in the Jordan River is so polluted because of all the Arabs with their non-hygienic lifestyle. They flush everything into the river. And you're up S Creek without a paddle.
Right.
Well, that's S Creek.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Otherwise known as the Israeli state. Yes.
Yes. Well,
the creek, the Jordan Creek.
Boy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pathetic.
They're desalinizing seawater, but how much of that do they actually get? Enough to sustain the population? No.
Yeah.
Why do you think that they're all over the world in dispersion funding that? Because they want to control the whole world. If they were all over there, they wouldn't control.
Yeah. They have to be in the banking houses
of
New York and London
and
Germany.
They've got to have these people like Elijah Toyota.
Right.
He's a Japanese Jew, but he's still a Jew.
Yeah, and he's not living in the Israeli state either.
And he's not living over there. What about all these rich Jews?
Right.
The only time they go to Israel is when they're indicted and they flee over there to get away from the indictments.
You know, I bet Weinstein is going to wind up in Israel.
Remember Arnold Rothstein?
Yeah, right?
The gangster, he tried to go to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a Jew trying to go home.
Yeah, right.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't let him go.
Uh-huh.
They arrested him. Well,
right.
That's where a lot of these people, when they disappear, they just resurface over there.
Yeah, like Mark Rich.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton pardoned him, another Jewish criminal, mafioso.
Well. There you go.
Meyer Lansky, same thing.
Israeli Defense Force new media desk is Troll Central.
That's right.
You got First Lieutenant Aliza Landis and Corporal Leary Haram. They're running it. They're on the internet. They're the ones trolling all these sites out here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and censoring them.
They have a whole crew of people going after the truther sites, EFR, everybody else's websites. They're popping up in chat rooms and spreading disinformation. So I did a sermon called A Ton of Bricks. You have to have a ton of bricks fall on your head to wake up. I mean, you by their fruits ye shall know them. Well, what kind of fruits are they producing? That's producing fruits of lies, deception, murder, violence, subversion, perversion, conversion.
It's the Weimar Republic all over again.
There you go.
Total degradation of the host people. And there it's not. Now it's global now. You know, it's not just Germany.
Sure, it's global.
Yeah. Total degradation.
The United States is a feather in their cap. They are so happy that they've got so deep in this country. They control everything. They control the money. If they control the money and the news media, they control everything.
That's right.
And we're railing against them and waking people up with our websites. But when Yahweh decides that the move is going to be on, we've got people preparing. When he turns us loose, it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be a thing to behold. Amen. They made up all this pogrom stuff and all the Holocaust. They haven't seen the real deal yet, but baby, it's coming.
Amen. It is. All right. And one good thing is the Academy Awards had their lowest rating in years, 19% down from last year and last few years, 10 years in a row. The viewership has been down. People are getting tired.
Well, it's like the viewership on the Negro Felon League.
Right. Yep. That's going down
People have had enough.
Yes, white people have had enough.
Yeah.
And they're pauperizing the white people too, so the tax dollars are shrinking too, okay? So it's all beginning to slowly, very slowly grind to a halt. Right?
They can't help but shoot themselves in the foot. That's their nature.
That's right.
And they wonder why they get kicked out and massacred.
Right.
Well, it's going to happen worldwide.
Yes.
And Mr. Kim says instead of having a discussion online, they ban us.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Right.
You got it.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I think Brother Dan down there in Florida's got the right idea to get
the militia going.
Get people together, and well, it's not necessarily a militia. It's Israelites banding together for survival.
Right.
Survivalist communities that everybody supports one another. Because you can't do it on your own. If you move out in the middle of nowhere, you're an easy target.
That's right.
But if you band together in a community, you don't have to be walking around with an AR on your shoulders all the time. But you can help support if somebody's feeling a little bit sick and he needs his garden weeded, send a teenager over and weed a man's garden for him.
Right.
Somebody needs a new roof, a bunch of the men to get together, and they put a new roof on. Just like the Amish. The Amish all help one another.
That's right.
We need to Amishize our people.
Amen.
Yeah.
Christianize. We need to Christianize our people.
That's
the true sense of the word. Yes.
In the true sense of the word, that's an analogy. The Amish and their Christian people, and they don't mix. You don't see any black Amishmen.
No, you don't.
No,
okay.
You don't.
Yeah. So he continues trying to characterize the Jewish mindset for us. I think he's doing an excellent job. He says both of these fronts have their own complexity. Christianity and Christian culture are increasingly less hostile to Jews. And that's true. That's because of the propaganda, the Judeo-Christian propaganda, that their Jews are God's chosen people, and all these Judeo-Christians believe that lie. Okay. The acceptance of Judaism as a religion and Jews as a people and individuals poses a different threat, the threat of assimilation. So, in other words, if they assimilate into Christian culture, they are no longer Jews. What happens then? they get confused, right? So this is, yeah, this the increasing complexity of the situation for Jews is something, because a lot of Jews who are half-breeds and probably have more white blood than Jewish blood, they don't think like, you know, the rabbis do.
Yeah, Jews for Jesus.
Yeah, right. Well,
that's an organ. And you talk about a hatred. They hate them more than they hate the rest of us.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you can see it's slowly grinding to a halt. Okay. For some time, the reason to be Jewish has been found outside the internal practices of Judaism. It has been located instead in the memory of the Holocaust, right? That's why they have to keep the memory of the Holocaust alive, alive, alive. It lives, they live. And the hope of Israel, which is the hope of Judaism.
Well, they're not just keeping it alive. They're shoving it up our backside every chance they get.
Amen. Amen. And the hope of the Jews, which most Jews participate in only vicariously, and of course that's even true for the so-called victims because it never happened. It's all vicarious. It's all theater. The Israelis...
They still have television ads about the Holocaust. Oh, we need you to donate to help these Holocaust victims.
Forgive and forget?
And they show some dried up old Jewess sitting on a filthy porch step over
in Israel. But she's a good actress. She's a good actress.
Over in Israel.
Uh-huh.
And it's just filthy over there because the city's falling apart.
Right.
Boy.
Well, is what you're saying, Pastor Steve, that the Israeli state is no longer, and what this guy apparently is saying, the Israeli state is no longer necessary. The Holocaust is more important than the Israeli state. Is that what we're saying?
Well, that's their power base.
Yeah, that's right.
And Tel Aviv is homo central.
That's right.
That is the biggest, quote-unquote, gay, let's just say it, homosexual population in the world. Makes San Fran look silly.
Right.
Faggot Central.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And if they are Yahweh's chosen people, and Yahweh said that those kind of people should be stoned to death, things just aren't clicking, are they?
No. The charade, how long can the charade last? That is the question. He continues, the Israeli state is more and more problematic as a supposed symbol of Jewish life and as a beacon to humanity. Even Jews realize that it's total hypocrisy. The opposite seems to be the case with the Israelis mirroring and mimicking the nations of the world and sometimes modeling in microcosm the very problems of the nation-state system. Well, what are the problems of the nation-state system? They're virtually non-existent if our nation-states are left alone, if we're left to ourselves. We had no crime. If you remove the black population from America, you remove 95% of the crime.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they have to have them here to disrupt and destroy white society.
That's right.
Look at the cities, the inner cities where they have taken over. Otherwise, white neighborhoods are now slums.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, a white neighborhood can tolerate a little bit, a few Mexicans, maybe a few Orientals. But if you have one or two black families start to move in, then you can see that neighborhood is getting ready to fall apart, right? That's why supposed to mix.
The Mexicans hate the blacks.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do.
Terribly.
Yeah. So it's proof multiculturalism does not work. It has never worked.
No.
Yet the incessant propaganda in favor of multiculturalism and liberalism from the Jew-controlled media still keeps people believing, in spite of all the contrary evidence. In spite of all of the evidence, okay? All right, as Jews, we are caught in this dynamic between an accepting Christian culture and the culpability, that is the guilt, that an expansionist Israel signals. Wow. Man, this is hard-hitting mm-hmm. stuff from an honest, honest-speaking Jew here, with little or no leadership to guide us. That's correct. You've got the devil leading you. We are not oppressed, and we are not innocent. These are the words of a Jew by the name of Mark Ellis. Too often we use the Holocaust as a shield and are silent on the unjust policies of the Israeli state. To speak out is to dissent on the defining issues of contemporary Jewish life without a way forward. Well, since it's all based on hypocrisy and lies, how is the Jewish community supposed to improve?
You remember the videos that David Cole did about Auschwitz?
Right.
And he's a Jew. And he went there with a yarmulke on. He's Jewish.
Right.
And he showed that the so-called gas chambers, the shower rooms, had screen doors.
Right.
and stuff. And he showed the photographs during the war where they didn't have holes in the roof because it was an air raid shelter. And then after the war where they cut the holes in the roofs.
Right.
And manufactured a so-called gas chamber.
Yeah, they needed venting holes in the roof, which never existed.
Right.
But after the war, right. Yes.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. And the Zyklon B was only in the delousing chambers where they had room just to shove a mattresses in. The ceilings were so low you could just put a mattress in sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And put a bunch of mattresses in there and throw Zyklon B in and close and slam the door and shut it.
Yeah.
And it was delousing the mattresses because of the typhus epidemic.
Yes.
So they manufactured, the Russians did this because they were under control of the Bolsheviks after the war. The Bolsheviks had control, and the Bolsheviks in Russia did this to Auschwitz.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
He showed the marble swimming pool for the population and the band room with all the instruments.
Right.
Where they had concerts and all this other stuff.
It was Jewish bands.
It was a work camp. They made them work. They were producing things and working in the community. It wasn't a death camp.
Right, yes.
A lot of people died because of the typhus epidemic. Germans, Poles, Lithuanians, a bunch of people over there died. Because typhus is fatal back then. They didn't have the antibiotics to fight it.
Yeah.
And it killed a large number of people.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
What do you do with all those dead bodies? you have to cremate them to prevent further infection.
Well, in Auschwitz, the water table was only 4 feet below the surface. So you can't bury people there.
No.
So they had to be cremated. And there's no way that 4 million Jews were cremated at Auschwitz. They've downgraded the number anyway. First to 2 million.
It keeps dropping.
So are they going to tell the truth now and drop it down to zero? I don't think so, folks. Because Judaism is
I have no doubt that some Jews died there.
Typhus. Yes, or maybe overwork or some other disease, right?
That's possible,
you know. But certainly they weren't gassed enough.
How many Germans died at Dresden?
Yeah, right. And other cities.
Living in Dresden. In their homes, they were non-combatants.
Right.
So they were firebombed, but we don't talk about that now, do we? Well, we do, but nobody else does.
Yeah, the mainstream academia and press don't talk about it. Right. So this is an insane theology Rare is the Jew indeed who speaks so openly and honestly about the Jewish question. Mark Ellis perceives the glaring contradictions between Jewish rhetoric and Jewish actions. Yet he himself is totally immersed in his Jewish experience. He just cannot escape from his Jewishness. He is incapable of thinking outside of the Jewish box of the, quote, the world revolves around us Jews, unquote. Thus, his analysis falls into a very trite and narrow ethnocentric understanding. What he is actually saying is that Judaism is failing because it is mimicking in the Israeli state Western nation states, something that Jews as history's eternal internationalists have always opposed. Well, in other words, Pastor Steve, a parasite is always a parasite and can't build anything. It has to have an existing nation to parasitize.
Well, they have to disperse for fresh food to
That's
feed on.
That's right, fresh meat, yes.
And now they're all right. over. And the Jewish population is a lot larger than people think.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
They have a lot more influence. They have wormed their way in. What yes. are they going to do when there's total control and they eliminate Whitey?
Yeah,
the answer is starve.
That's right. They will starve.
Because do you think the Satan cares about his own children?
No, he doesn't.
He's 100% evil. He's going to throw them under the bus.
And they're not going to get the productivity out of the other races that they get from us.
Satan already knows he's lost. We're coming to the head where the big battle's going to come up. And Yahweh's going to send his avenging angels with flaming fire. It says so right there in Thessalonians. And we're going to rise up, not all of us, not most of us. But it's better as far as soldiers to have quality rather than quantity. Because if you're on the front line with a bunch of cowards, they're going to hunker down and they're not going to fight and they're going to run away on you yes. like we've seen in the past. They were cowardly of Israel. What's it say in the book of Revelations about the cowardly? Now, everybody's going to have fear. When I got in my situation, I was afraid. But it's the actions that you take while you're afraid. You don't let the fear paralyze you. You have to use it as a survival instinct, and you have to be methodical.
Right.
And you have to think how you're going to attack the enemy. Because if you're in a battle, you can't wimp out because you'll get shot in the back.
Yes, that's right. And you can't get overly agitated. You have to keep your cool. You have to be steady, right? That requires training.
Most people have never been in a firefight, Eli, and I've seen all these tough talkers, and that's the problem I had with the militia was they all got around a campfire with beer in their hands and they all talked up.
Shooting
but
the breeze.
When it hit the fan right. here in Kentucky with me, mm-hmm. and they had some pressure put on them, they dispersed. They
right.
disbanded and left. Disappeared.
Right. Right. Yeah, because they got too much to lose, you know. But the more our people are disenfranchised, the less they have to lose, and the more likely they are to fight back. So I see that day coming, Pastor Steve. It's definitely coming. And we can tell, even from the shows on the last couple of months here on Your Folk Radio, the anger expressed by the guests as to their outrage on how the Jews are destroying white Christian civilization is
well,
being
like
expressed.
This rape culture, they read about it and she posts on it, boy, that's terrible. But what happens when their little daughter gets raped?
Mm-hmm.
Then they want to kill somebody.
That's right.
Okay, well, it's going to take a whole...
Yep.
When is enough going to be enough?
Yeah.
Okay?
Some people just have to learn the hard way.
When are you going
to
snap, white Anglo-Saxon Israelite?
Yeah, wrath of the awakened Saxon. Yes. Well, here, let me just conclude.
Snap. Yeah.
Let me conclude this section with this quote from Albert Einstein. Collier's Magazine, November 26, 1938. Quote, anti-Semitism is nothing but the antagonistic attitude produced in the non-Jew by the Jewish group. Okay. That's another honest statement. Yeah, anti-Semitism is produced by Jews. It's caused by Jews, okay? And then he says, the Jewish group has thrived on oppression and on the antagonism it has forever met in the world. Okay?
The Jews. The Holocaust!
So they create antagonism. They create antagonism with the Holocaust nonsense. Okay.
They even go over and knock over headstones. Right. Swastikas on
synagogues.
On synagogues, and they get caught.
Yes, that's right. They get caught. All right. Thesis number 75. Is there a Jewish conspiracy? By Kurt Maynard. I cannot tell you how surprised I am that Bush has appointed another Jew. Replace Bush with Trump, has appointed another Jew to replace the Jewish Zionist Paul Wolfowitz at the World Bank. That's right. George Bush just appointed a hardcore Jewish supremacist by the name of Robert Zoellick to replace the corrupt Paul Wolfowitz at the World Bank. Now, wait a minute. What does the President of the United States have to do with appointing the head of the World Bank? Is that his... part of his job description, Pastor Steve?
No, I actually...
Right? The only other time I've ever been this surprised was when Bush appointed the Jew Ben Bernanke to replace the Jew Alan Greenspan as head of the Federal Reserve. Of course, I'm just kidding. These appointments don't surprise me at all. In fact, I expect more Jews. I'm not a mathematician, but based on the fact that Jews only constitute approximately 2.5% of the U.S. population, I agree with you, there's more. They deliberately minimize their totals. I'd say that the odds that this is a just happy accident and or a coincidence and not a sign that a very sinister agenda is at work are close to 1 in a million. Yes, Mr. Maynard.
Well, how long ago was this written?
This was during the Bush administration is all I could tell you. Okay. I don't have a date for this article.
All right.
Anyway, in other words, it isn't a coincidence. The fact of the matter is that a small group of ethnic Jews do have complete control over our economy, and they must maintain their presence in all of the important economic positions in order to continue to advance their Zionist agenda. That's why it's not going away, folks. And prevent the American people from becoming too suspicious too soon. Okay? Yep. This is what Judaism is all about. It's subterfuge, subversion, and chameleonization, for lack of a better word. Somebody who... an impersonation. This is the word I was looking for. And that's what the Jews are best at.
Great impersonation.
Yeah, right, the great impersonation. Thank you. All right, thesis number 76. Zionists are Jewish Nazis. Continuing with Mark Ellis. It is a strange feeling to stand before a gathering of rabbis and speak of my vision for the future of the Jewish people, especially during a time when helicopter gunships are more and more defining the trajectory of Jewish life. In my youth, my own rabbis, first at an Orthodox synagogue and then within the conservative movement, did not have to warn us against such abuse of power. Like most Jews in America, using tanks and aerial bombardment to quiet resistance in villages, towns, and cities was reminiscent of the horrors of World War II. The assault on a weak, defenseless people gathered in ghettos and surrounded by superior power reminded Jews in America of the fate European Jews in what later became known as the Holocaust. It's quite obvious that Mr. Ellis still believes in the Holocaust. But what he's trying to get at here is, well, why don't Jews have sympathy for the Palestinians who are being treated by the Jews just as the Nazis supposedly treated Jews? So a question for you, Pastor Steve. Are Jews a compassionate people toward non-Jews?
No, just the opposite.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely not. We are nothing to them.
Yeah. That is why they have no sympathy for non-Jews. As he so eloquently expressed, the world revolves around the Jews. That is, it is self-absorption to the hilt. It's a self-absorptive mindset that all Jews have, both by DNA and because it's constantly agitated for by the rabbis and by secular Jews. The Jew cannot get away from it. It's inside of him and it's outside of him, and he is a Jew and he can't change.
It's DNA.
It's DNA. And the culture reinforces the DNA. So there's only one solution to this, and that solution is stated in the book of Obadiah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Have you ever either seen the movie or read the book, The Island of Dr. Moreau?
Yes. Yeah, it's outstanding.
Where they modified animals and they modified the brains, yeah. And it was called The House of Pain.
Right.
Where they made them into people.
Right.
And after a while, the modification quit and they reverted back to animals. Well, that's
right.
What a Jew is.
That's right.
He can put on a chameleon appearance outwardly, but when push comes to shove,
yes.
He's going to be a Jew.
Yeah, the hybrid, the deliberate hybrid expresses the DNA of both species. But if that,
right.
If that species or that hybrid mixes and it produces viable offspring, then they will gradually gravitate back to the original species, be it wolf or whatever.
Oh, Brother A-Bear. Bye-bye, Obadiah Pie. Them good old Edomites are all going to die.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, you're a hoot, Brother A-Bear.
Yeah, we got to redo the lyric.
You made a beautiful calendar this year.
Oh, man.
We need to mention the calendar here, folks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody who wants a copy of the calendar, there's two ways to get it at the moment. You can get it by mail for a donation of $20. Send that $20 to ANP, Post Office Box 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. Again, POB 41-1373, Chicago, Illinois, 60641. That's $40. Or you can go to our sister site, www.anglo-saxonisrael.com, and use our PayPal link there. But be sure to, in the instructions, tell us it's for the calendar, because we don't have it for sale over there. So you have to have special
instructions. Yeah, $20, not $40.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say 40?
Yeah. Yeah, oh. Boy. Well, that'll get you two of them.
Right. So, and then don't forget to put your return address in there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jewish genetic diseases, thesis number 77.
Oh boy.
I'm just going to list them here, and then if you want to comment on a particular Jewish disease, go ahead. So, the most common one is actually Tay-Sachs disease, and these are all genetic diseases, folks, which proves that they have defective DNA. Okay. Bloom syndrome. Babies with this disease are born small and remain shorter than normal as they grow. Their skin may look red. Oh, eat them. And they have more lung and ear infections than normal. Canavan disease, which destroys brain tissue. Cystic fibrosis, very thick mucus in the lungs. Familial dysautonomia, FD. People with this problem cannot feel pain. Wow.
Hmm.
Well, that's I guess that's why Jews don't have any sympathy for others. They don't feel the pain. Fanconi anemia. People
I
with this
feel
problem.
Your pain.
What?
I feel your pain.
Oh, yeah, your pain. Right.
My fellow Americans, I feel your pain.
Yeah, right, he did. Yeah, that psychopath. Fanconi anemia. People with this problem do not have enough blood cells and have problems with the heart, kidneys, arms, legs, etc., etc. Goucher disease. This disease causes a type of fat called glucocerebroside to build up in certain cells in the liver, spleen, and bone marrow. So it's a fatty tissue disease. Mucolipidosis. This problem causes the nervous system to break down or deteriorate over time, which is true for, of all Jews. Niemann-Pick disease. This disease causes a type of fat called sphingomyelin to build up in cells of the liver, spleen, lymph nodes, and bone marrow. Tay-Sachs disease, another fat. A lot of these diseases have to do with the fat tissue. It's interesting. Torsion dystonia. People with this problem have ongoing spasms that twist the muscles in their arms, legs, and sometimes their body. Okay. A lot of Jews have this distorted body. Okay. And that the twisted, distorted bodies. And that comes from the race mixing. Because the DNA doesn't know what type of body to build, an Anglo-Saxon body or a demon body. It's confused, okay? And Jews have these type of diseases way more than any other ethnic group, way more than any other ethnic group. That's because they're so race mixed. Thesis number 78. The Israeli state is the only democracy and the only ally in the Middle East. With regard to the big lie, this Jewish propaganda trick ranks among their most diabolically, cleverly fashioned falsehoods. Yet, it is believed by millions of duped innocents, both Christian and non-Christian. Here are two irrefutable facts. Number one, Israeli, or Kyrgyzstan, is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. A nation whose principles are decided by lawyer priests, whose decisions are based upon the Talmud, which is the religious and cultural heart of the Jewish people. Would that be an accurate statement, Pastor Steve?
That is absolutely, and it changes to suit.
Right, and Talmudism changes every
day. It's a fluid document. They change it.
Yes, yes. Point number two. Before the Zionists invaded Palestine, America had no, I repeat, no, that is zero, enemies in the Middle East. America had friendly relations with all of the Arab nations before the Jews began butchering Palestinians for fun and profit. Indeed, our reliance upon Arab oil demanded we maintain good relations with them. That all began to change with the creation of the bandit state. Leave it to the Jews to invent politically correct slogans that blatantly distort history. Yeah, they're the only democracy. They're our best friends in the Middle East. How can anybody believe that garbage? Thesis number 79, the Jews and the slave trade. The history that the old black Jewish coalition clumsily avoids is the entire three-century history of Jewish presence in South America and the Caribbean. And most of these were Murano Jews from Spain and Portugal. But other highly acclaimed Jewish scholars have not been so blind. Leo M. Friedman, a one-time president of the American Jewish Historical Society, wrote that in Brazil, where most of the Africans actually went, quote, the bulk of the slave trade was in the hands of Jewish settlers, unquote. Now, these are Jewish authors that are being quoted here. All right.
You hit that pretty hard also on Restoration Hour a number of times.
Right. Yeah. The Jewish slave trade, because this, mm-hmm. Without that, we never would have had a civil war.
The registry of all the slave ships.
That's right.
Showed they were all Jewish owned. They may not have had Jewish crews.
Right.
But they were Jewish backed.
Amen. Amen. And of course, what's his face, the big movie producer, and he did the movie about the slave ship, and it had a Christian captain, right? not a Jewish captain.
Right.
I doubt that any of those people were Christians, folks. Anyway, Marcus Arkin wrote that the Jews of Suriname used many thousands of black slaves. You never hear about this in the annals of slavery. Never hear anything about this. Herbert I. Bloom wrote that, quote, the slave trade was one of the most important Jewish activities here in Suriname, as elsewhere in the colonies. He even published a 1707 list of Jewish buyers by name, with the number of black humans they purchased. This is Herbert I. Bloom, a Jewish author. Cecil Roth, writer of 30 books and hundreds of articles on Jewish history, wrote that the slave revolts in parts of South America, quote, were largely directed against Jews as being the greatest slaveholders of that region, unquote. Another Absolutely. Jewish scholar, Wilfred Samuels, wrote, I gather that the Jews of Barbados made a good deal of their money by purchasing and hiring out Negroes, unquote. One such family is Monsanto. Mm-hmm. Monsanto made its big early bucks in slavery, folks. And then they branched out, you know, their portfolio into pharmacia. According
and
to
who gives you all your GMOs?
Yes,
owned
you go.
By Jews.
Yeah, amen, amen. According to the Jewish historians, all Barbadian Jews owned slaves. Even the rabbi had, quote, the enjoyment of his own two Negro attendants, unquote. In Curacao, which was a major slave trading depot, Isaac and Susan Emmanuel report that, quote, the shipping business was mainly a Jewish enterprise, unquote. Says yet another Jewish writer of the Jews of Curacao, quote, almost every Jew bought from one to nine slaves for his personal use or for the eventual resale, unquote. But Pastor Steve, all we ever hear about is white people owning black slaves. That's all we ever hear about.
They also don't say that black people own black slaves.
That's right. They don't talk about that either.
It's Curacao. That letter is an S.
Curacao.
It's pronounced by like an S, yeah.
Okay.
When so you have a little tail underneath the C.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So so Curacao as a S-O-W.
Curacao, yeah.
German for pig and English for pig also. Okay. Seymour B. Liebman, in his New World Jewry, made it clear that, quote, the ships were not only owned by Jews, but were manned by Jewish crews and sailed under the command of Jewish captains. So much for Spielberg's Christian captain. Moshe Kahan stated bluntly that in 1653 to 1658, quote, Jewish Marano merchants were in control of the Spanish and Portuguese trade, were almost in control of the Levantine trade, were interested in the Dutch East and West Indian companies, were heavily involved in shipping, and most important, had at their disposal large amounts of capital. Okay.
Well, surely. Of course they did.
But that's...
Such a deal. We defeated the Mamba Jabbas. We want to sell them off.
That's right.
We'll give you a half price today on Mamba Jabbas.
Yes. Jewish scholar Arnold Wisnitzer states, besides their important position in the sugar industry and in tax farming... What's tax farming, Pastor Steve? This is a Jewish specialty. What they do is they have a special, they get a monopoly, just like the Federal Reserve. They get a monopoly privilege by the government, by the Goy government, and to collect taxes on the state's behalf, and they get a cut. Okay, that's called tax farming. And the Jews have been doing this for millennia. All right, that's why Jews become so hated in the countries that they live in, because they're the tax collectors. They're the Jewish.
Oh, okay.
The Christian kings had Jewish tax collectors. That's how it worked. Okay. They also dominated the slave trade. Okay. From 1636. Now, what's to love? What's to like about a guy who sells you sugar, which you shouldn't be eating much of, very little actually, who's a tax farmer and a slave master? What's to like about this guy? Right? This is why Jews have been hated throughout history. From 1636 to 1645, a total of 23,163 Negro slaves arrived from Africa and were sold for 6,714,000 florins. Can't tell you what a florin is really worth, but that's a huge price. 23,000 into 6 million. There's that number 6 million again. Just can't get away from it. The West India Company, which monopolized imports of slaves from Africa, sold slaves at public auctions against cash payment. It happened that cash was mostly in the hands of Jews. The buyers who appeared at the auctions were almost always Jews, and because of this lack of competitors, they could buy slaves at low prices. On the other hand, there also was no competition in the selling of the slaves to the plantation owners and other buyers, and most of them purchased on credit, payable at the next harvest in sugar. So what he's telling us is that even in the South, the white purchaser of black slaves was cash poor and had to buy on credit, ultimately paying with his crops. That this goes to show you that the Jews already controlled all the money in America at this stage of the game already. Okay? This is the year 1644.
Now, look at this. Profits up to 300% of the purchase value were often realized with high interest rates.
Right? Right? And so gouging the buyer, okay?
That's usury. If it happened that the date of such an auction fell on a Jewish holiday, the auction had to be postponed.
Right.
This occurred on Friday, October 21, 1644.
Okay. So, given the concise statements in the Jewish historical record, of which the Black Jewish Coalition is totally ignorant, and by this I mean the coalition being composed mainly of blacks who think the Jews are their friends, they are totally ignorant of Jewish control of Negro slavery throughout history. They're totally ignorant of it. How can it be taken seriously in the present debate? Okay. So, somebody began the reparations debate all over again. If I heard Doc Waterman correctly, another black came out demanding reparations from white people for slavery. Now, wait a minute.
It says in this next statement, why aren't there any calls for reparations by blacks directed at the Jews?
That's right. That's right.
You might as well sue the people who have the money.
There
Don't
you
expect
go.
A Jewish-controlled ACLU to seek reparations.
Yeah.
And we're almost out of time here. We're less than 4 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I can give black some of my white privilege. I wish I had some of that, right?
Yeah, you have the privilege of paying all the taxes that we owe.
There yeah, you exactly. That's
your privilege to do that. So we'll start at number 80 next week.
Yes, very good. All right, folks. Okay, since I had to switch to the other computer, I didn't have the music queued up. So I'll just go quickly into, because this is an important subject. Thesis number 80 is dissent, and is an important subject. Maybe we'll have Arthur Jones with us next Sunday to join.
Yeah, let's invite him on.
Yeah, and we can talk about dissent and how they are censoring him and he's being persecuted by the Jewish community and by the Republicans and by the Democrats. They're calling him all kinds of names. They're going door to door telling people not to accept his mail. It's really incredible the power that the Jews have over communications media. It's really incredible. And most people are simply ignorant of it. However, the fact that Hollywood is declining in influence is a really good sign. I would say most Christians have a limit to the much degenerate entertainment they actually watch, right? And there's nothing coming out of Hollywood that isn't degenerate. Nothing. I mean, it's all degenerate. It's all sexploitation. It's all multiculti. 5 out of 10 movies are about the Holocaust. and not much else. Yeah, okay.
It's really sick.
Yeah, there's nothing really, good. Really, I mean, there was a time when Hollywood did produce good movies, but that was before the Jews took it over completely. Now we have nothing but Harvey Weinstein and the rest. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. We'll see you next time, and I will invite Art Jones to join us next Sunday. Thank you, and have a Jew-free day.
May Yahweh bless and keep you, brothers and sisters.
Amen.